It's nice to hear the voices of little ones, right? Nice to have little sheep, little lambs with us today. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that is your prayer, that you won't entertain any other gods before the Lord, that you won't put anyone or anything before God, that you will make him the Lord and King of your life. Can you hear me okay? How are we doing? Volume is all right? Good. Well, last Sunday we saw in Colossians that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. Amen? He is fully God and he is fully man. It says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. That speaks of his deity and his humanity. So he is our God-man. He's our all-in-all. He is the best. And that means that if Christ dwells in you, all the fullness of God dwells in you. Amen? And therefore, you are complete. You are complete in Christ. You don't need anything else. For life and godliness, for eternal life, for abundant life, you only need Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ, you are complete because he dwells in your heart by faith. Can anyone say amen to that? Amen, amen. Yes. Now, when a sinner repents and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, all kinds of amazing things happen at the heart level, at the spiritual level. That person is born again. He's made a new creation. He is sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is indwelt by Christ. He is declared righteous by the Lord. He is forgiven of his sins. He is redeemed. He is united with Christ in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He's adopted into God's family. Pretty good list, huh? He is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. He's delivered from the domain of darkness, and he is now a citizen of heaven. That's just a partial list of all the things that happen on the spiritual level when someone surrenders to Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you want to hear that list again?
Sure.
Yeah, that person is born again. He's made a new creation. He's sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's indwelt by Christ. He's declared righteous by the Lord. He's forgiven his sins. He's redeemed. He is united with Christ in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He's adopted into God's family. He's an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. He's delivered from the domain of darkness, and he's now a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. And that's, again, just a partial list of what God does when someone surrenders to Christ. Well, in today's passage, we're going to see two more spiritual realities, heart realities, that happen when a person is saved. One is that person is baptized in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we are slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit." This is a beautiful picture of how a believer in Christ is given a brand new identity in the body of Christ, a brand new life. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. He takes you and immerses you in the water of the Holy Spirit, and he raises you up and places you in the body of Christ. You have died to the old life, and you have a brand new life in Jesus, in His body, right, in His church. And I hope you see what a great picture water baptism is of that. You are buried with, you die with Christ, you are buried under the water, and you come up to newness of life. Isn't that great? So the first, well, actually it's the second one in order in our scripture today, but the first one I'm talking about is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Spirit baptism. The other spiritual reality that Paul talks about in this passage is one that we don't talk about very much, but the Bible talks about it a lot. I'm talking about circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. You can see why we don't talk about that very much. Someone said, if you want a challenge, try teaching a junior high Sunday school class of boys about circumcision. Okay, anyway, enough of that. The circumcision of the heart. You remember that God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision as a sign of the covenant that He made with Abraham and his descendants. It was an outward surgery, right? An outward surgery. But Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and others in the Old Testament make it clear that there is another circumcision, an inward spiritual circumcision, that the outward surgery was supposed to represent. In other words, God wanted to do heart surgery on His people. He wanted to cut away their tendency to sin and rebel against Him. It's called circumcision of the heart. That makes sense? I'll talk about that a little more in a bit. So in Colossians today, we get to add to that list of things that take place when someone trusts in Jesus: circumcision of the heart and Holy Spirit baptism. And then we're going to close our message today with two more glorious spiritual benefits that become ours when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. The more you grow, the more you'll see what Christ has already done for you. Amen? Amen. So let's read our passage with an open heart and pray that the Spirit of God will apply these spiritual realities to our lives, okay? We're going to be reading Colossians 2, 11 through 15. This is deep, powerful stuff. There's about 10 sermons wrapped up in these verses, but we're going to try to do it in one sermon today. Amen. So, it says in Colossians 2, 11, in Him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wow. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's in the cross. Wow. He made a public spectacle of the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Lord, we thank you for your great work on the cross. So much was accomplished. It's mind-boggling what you did on that cross. We thank you for laying down your life, for giving us everlasting life, for forgiving our trespasses, for blotting out the handwriting that was against us, Lord, for baptizing us into the body of Christ. Thank you for cutting away the sinful nature through the circumcision that was made without hands. We thank you, Lord, for your great work, and we pray that we would learn and grow and learn to just rejoice in what you have done. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, this passage gives more substance to the wonderful truth that we are complete in Christ. So let's go back to verse 11, and we'll start with there. Back to verse 11. In him, in Christ, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So in Jesus Christ, we were circumcised with a heart circumcision that put off the old sinful nature. And that nature was nature that we inherited from Adam. You know, that part in you that wants to sin, that wants to disobey God. It's called in Scripture the sinful nature, the flesh, the old man. Christ has, so to speak, cut away that sinful nature and nailed it to the cross. Paul expounds upon this in Romans chapter 6. If your homework for further study is to read Romans chapter 6. He says in Romans 6:6, he says we should know something. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sins might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Isn't that a great picture? When you were united with Jesus Christ by faith, you were united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. Amen? And the life that I now live in the flesh or in this body, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let me just say that the crucifixion of the sinful nature doesn't mean that we will never be tempted to sin again. I wish that was true. I wish that all temptation is removed, but that's not true. There will still be temptation to sin. There will still be the struggle between flesh and spirit. But since the flesh has been nailed to the cross, we don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. Amen? We are free to serve God, not serve sin, because of the heart surgery that Christ has accomplished on the cross. Amen? Praise his name. Now, before we go to verse 12, I want to remind you that the word baptism sometimes refers to water baptism, and sometimes it refers to spirit baptism. The word baptism, to baptize, means to immerse, to immerse. So sometimes in the New Testament, Paul's referring to immersion in water, and sometimes he's talking about immersion in the Holy Spirit. And I think in verse 12, he's talking about immersion in the Holy Spirit. So we were circumcised by the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. All this is happening on the spiritual level, not on the physical level. So just as in the spiritual level, there's a spiritual circumcision, there's also a spiritual baptism. You were buried with him in baptism. In other words, you were buried with him when you were immersed in the Spirit. Then you were also raised with him. And all this happened because of your faith in the working of God who raised Christ from the dead. And God accomplishes all this, these glorious things, in spite of the fact that we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's your sinful nature, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wow. Aren't you glad Christ has forgiven you all trespasses? Not just your past ones, but present and future. All the sin that you will ever commit, Christ died for on the cross, and he forgave you. Amen? Amen. So, again, he took us when we were dead in our sin and united us with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And he made us alive in him, forgiving all our trespasses. Wow. So in the next verse, Paul's going to put a beautiful picture of how the Lord Jesus has done away with our sins. This is so cool. This is amazing. I want you to see this, verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Let's talk about that for a second. Jesus has wiped out or blotted out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us. What is he talking about when he says the handwriting of requirements? Well, the word handwriting means an official document. There's an official document. And the requirements that are against us means our debts. So this handwriting of requirement is better translated as a certificate of debt. There's a certificate of debt in your name that lists each and every one of your sins. Yikes! Every person on earth has a certificate of their unpaid debt to God because of their continual sinning against God and breaking his commandments. They have a debt that they can never repay. Whoa. I had a debt I could not pay, the song says. Before I trusted in Jesus, there was a certificate of debt with my name on it. And it listed every sin I had ever committed and every sin I would ever commit. It was a big list. It was a long, long certificate of debt. Wow. But when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I found that my certificate of debt was actually nailed to the cross. Now, what does that mean? You know, when criminals were crucified during the time of Christ, they were nailed to the cross, and the list of their crimes was nailed above them. Do you see the significance? Jesus was nailed to the cross, and your certificate of debt, your list of sins, was nailed to the cross with him. He died for those crimes, your crimes, your sins, your unbelief, your rebellion, my sins, my crimes, my rebellion. They were all nailed above Jesus' head, and he died for them. He didn't commit any sins himself, right? He was sinless. He had no crime. But all the sins of mankind, all those certificates of debt were nailed to the cross, and Jesus died for them all. Isn't that great? Wow, what a picture. And do you remember what Jesus cried out from the cross just before he died? He said, "It is finished. It is finished." And that can be translated, "It is paid in full." Jesus paid for every sin. And he cried out, "It's done. It's paid for. Every debt, every sin of mankind has been dealt with on the cross. I died to nail those certificates of debt to the cross. And there I died for them." Amen? Wow. It is paid in full. It is finished. And when the Lord of glory paid the sin debt of the world, something very powerful happened in the invisible angelic realms. This is phenomenal. Verse 15. Let's read verse 15. He nailed all our sins to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. What are the principalities and powers? They are Satan and his army, his hosts, his levels of command, if you will, in his army. All those evil principalities and powers, Jesus Christ disarmed. Wow. How did he disarm them? By defeating sin, Jesus took away Satan's weapon of condemnation. Satan no longer has the power to condemn you because all your sins have been forgiven. There's nothing to condemn, right? Who can condemn? Satan is done. His power is broken. He's a defeated foe, amen? So through the cross and through his death for sin, Jesus disarmed Satan of his power of condemnation. And through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus defeated the power of death and hell. Through the cross and resurrection, Jesus took away Satan's weapon and defeated him. Isn't that great? Satan is a defeated foe. He has no longer any authority over you. You don't have to sin because your sins have been paid for and your old man was crucified with him. You fear no condemnation because Jesus paid it all. And you don't have to fear death, because death is just God's way of ushering you into his glorious kingdom. Amen? So he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. Jesus is the conquering king, and his throne of conquest is the cross. On that cross, he became the triumphant Jesus. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, it is apparent to all the Christian world that Satan made a huge mistake when he made sure Jesus was crucified. He brought about his own destruction when he thought he was destroying Christ. Oh no! What have I done? Ah! He thought he was ridding the world of Christ. Instead, he was ridding the world of sin. He was ridding the world of his domain. He was shooting himself in the foot when he made sure that Jesus died. He played right into God's hands, didn't he? It was God's will that Jesus be crucified, and Satan thought it was his idea, and he was going to rid the world of the Son of God forever. Ha! Jesus defeated the wicked one. Amen? Wow. Satan brought about his own destruction, and he's been made a public spectacle of his folly by the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus has triumphed. He is victorious through his glorious cross. Amen? Wow. So we can add to that list that Jesus nailed the certificate of debt, my certificate of debt, to the cross and took away all my sins. And Jesus also defeated the enemy. So I'm on the winning side, right? The triumphant Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, to close our service, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Timmy Turtle. And Timmy has some lessons for us today. You see, Timmy understands that there's a certificate of debt that has his name on it, that contain all his sins, and that all he is worthy of is eternal death. Let's see Timmy, if we can bring him up. It's coming. Oh, it's up there, huh? Yes. Look at Timmy. Poor Timmy. He's looking at this certificate of debt. And look at the hand that's holding it. Notice there's a nail pierced. Yeah, it's the hand of Jesus who has this certificate of debt. And where's Satan? Satan is perched on Timmy's shoulder, and he has total authority to say, "You're condemned, you're guilty, you can't follow God, you are lost, there's no way you can be saved." Poor Timmy. He's a broken, see it's breaking in his shell. He's a broken turtle. The certificate of debt says sin, sin, sin. The wages of sin is eternal debt. But wait a minute. Timmy has surrendered his life to Christ. He realizes he can't pay the debt himself. So he's given his heart to Jesus, and Jesus has paid the debt. Let's look at what happened. Look at Timmy now. Yay! He's rejoicing because his certificate of debt has been nailed to the cross. Amen? And where's Satan? Yeah, where he belongs. He's a defeated foe. And Timmy is a rejoicing believer in Christ because his sins have been paid in full and his enemy has been defeated. Amen?
Amen.
You are Timmy Turtle. If you've given your heart to Christ, your sin debt has been paid and nailed to the cross. Satan has been defeated, and you can rejoice with Timmy in your salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you've enjoyed meeting my friend. Isn't he a great guy?
Yeah.
Timmy Turtle. Well, let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for taking our certificate of debt. That's what we deserve, Lord. We deserve eternal condemnation. And Satan really had every right to whisper in our ears, you are doomed. You are lost. You cannot save yourself. That was all true. So, Lord, we turned to you, knowing that you have paid our debt. Thank you, Lord, for nailing our certificate of debt to your cross, and our sins, which were many, are all gone. And thank you for putting Satan where he belongs. He no longer has authority over us, and so we need not be slaves to sin any longer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray that your people today would rejoice in their salvation. And if there's anyone who's still with Timmy in that first slide, who's not had their sins forgiven, I pray that they would turn to you, that they would turn from their sin and believe that you have nailed all their sins to the cross. If there's anyone today who has not found the joy of salvation, I pray that you would draw them to yourself even now, and that they would surrender to you, the King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your glorious forgiveness. And thank you for the triumph of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's thank the Lord for the cross. This is one of my favorite songs. We're going to thank the Lord for the cross. Let's stand together. Thank you for the cross.